Hey, Internet, and thanks for tuning in to part two of the interview with Ryan Connolly from Film Riot. We're going to jump into Film Riot's beginnings. We're going to jump into proximity. So go ahead, grab some popcorn, get some soda, whatever you got to do. If you're driving in the car, I don't recommend that, but I guess you could. Enjoy, everybody. Now, of course, you've grown up and you've done a lot of cool things. One of them being is that you have a very popular show called Film Riot. Kind of walk us through a little bit. How did you initially come up with doing that and decide, hey, I'm going to help out the DIY community and kind of be a resource for them?
Well, I got to the point where I was working towards making Tell, which I was pretty excited about, and I didn't want to make it just yet. I wanted to practice a little bit more because I wanted to do it justice. The last thing I did, I wasn't thrilled with, and I knew where I was at. Like, that's one thing I've always tried to be, is very objective with my work, not finish something and be like, that was awesome because I did it, but hate myself as much as possible to continually get better, but also always know where I'm at, not try to be more than I am or less than I am. And that has really helped me. It's something I try to talk about on Film Riot, because a lot of people try to build themselves as more than they are, and it really just hurts them. And then other people don't realize how talented they are, and they're not pushing to the level that they should be at.
It's kind of like how Doug and I are. Doug always is like, I'm amazing, and I'm like, we can get better on our show, and he's just like, fuck it, we've peaked.
This is it. We're never getting any better.
May as well just stop trying.
So between the two of you, you're level-headed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a really difficult thing to do. I had to, train myself to be objective in that way. But anyway, I knew I wanted to work at it more, but I also didn't want to just do stuff that no one was watching, and I didn't want it to where when I finished Tell, I put it out there and all of my family cared, I was tired of that whole thing. So I was trying to figure out a way to build an audience, put stuff out there, and I was going to just start doing sketches, but then a friend of mine was asking me about film school and asking for advice of what he should do. He was really discouraged, didn't really have money for film school, didn't know anything about filmmaking, and couldn't find anything online that was helpful at all for him. And that kind of gave me the idea that it'd be really cool to, whatever knowledge I had to just put out there for whoever cared. And, when we started, it was very much filmmaker 101 type stuff, which we try to stay around that area still. Of course, we're branching out, and we're going to have the 101 in advance coming here pretty soon. But it was kind of born of wanting to get info out there that wasn't at the time, because now it's saturated. Now there's a million things like Film Riot, people way better than I am doing it, like Philip and Vincent and Shane and Andrew's doing more stuff like the blog show. But at the time, the only thing out there was Indie Mogul, and really all they did was like props and builds and things like that. None of them were really like trained filmmakers or anything like that. They were doing really cool stuff, but not what Film Riot was. So Film Riot, there was like a gap to be filled, and I was like, sure, I'll give it a shot. And I guess we just struck at the right time, and people dug it and latched on to our insanity, and that was that. And then it was just really cool to to see how the show was actually helping people, because for a while it just felt like I was making something in my bedroom that nobody was watching, like these invisible people were watching. But then all of a sudden I get like this feedback, or I start seeing stuff that definitely has our influence on it or our style to it. And it's this 14-year-old kid that's making the short film that I'm like, wow, look at that. And then he gives us a message saying, hey, everything I learned from you guys. And that stuff blew me away. And that just,
it's got to feel good too.
Pursue it. Yeah. It was just the coolest. It's so rewarding. Just to be able to, help people in that way, and whatever Film Riot does to help, whether it's just to encourage, inspire, or actually teach. I don't think we teach everyone, and some people don't even need what we're saying, but sometimes it's good to hear what you already know, and I think that's a big part of Film Riot, just to be really encouraging, and just to be, if we're the only ones that'll watch a short film, freaking tweet it to me. I'll watch your short film. We get a million. I mean, right now I'm so behind on Twitter. I think I'm like 300 tweets behind because it's been pretty busy. But, on any normal day, I respond to every tweet sent to me, and I watch every short film sent to me. And that's another reason why we started the Monday Challenge, was then was another way to build a stage for our audience to where, you know, to watch stuff that otherwise wouldn't get any eyes on it or very few eyes on it, and to help start to raise up talent that deserved to be seen, but also to give our audience, you know, what Film Riot has given me, which I didn't expect, which was this insane training ground of having to do something every single week without fail. So having to be creative every week, have a new idea every single week. And we've calmed down on the sketches because of how busy we've been with some other stuff, but that's going to be ramping back up. But in the beginning, for like the first 2 years, it was basically a sketch a week. Mm-hmm. And that was just insane. Insane. Like, it was just 24/7. That is all I did. And the result was, the analogy I always give over and over and over again is probably getting old to people who listen to me, is it was like learning to play on the acoustic guitar and then switching to the electric guitar. Or if you don't play music, it's like learning to drive in a freaking 15-passenger bus and then switching to a sports car, you know? It was just like, wow, this is, when I have gear, this is really easy. Really? That's it? That's how, okay, there we go. But, you know, being able to learn that way, like doing it so much, taught me so much over such a short period of time that hopefully Monday Challenge is that thing that gives people the drive to do it as well. So all those things were really why I wanted to do Film Riot. I think, and the reason I bring up Monday Challenge and that stuff is really the heart behind what Film Riot wanted to be, which, you know, yeah, it's a way for us to build an audience and get our stuff out there. But more than anything, freaking built this community of filmmakers. It's kind of awesome. And we're going to work on some websites to build that community even more. Because my dream is to be like the central hub, because it's so hard to connect. It's so hard to find people to work on your project with you. It's so hard to find talented people, you know, to bring in or to get people to watch your stuff, to get like constructive feedback, which if you've noticed, if you watch our show, I push pretty hard kindness and constructive criticism. And, you know, I mean, bash us all you want, whatever. But we usually address that with, hey, you know, I mean, like, come on.
It's easy to troll nowadays, though, on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, come on. And our, you know, because we've been an example of that and pushed that for so long, our comment section is pretty kind. You get the occasional bad guy, but usually our audience jumps all over it and will, you know, say the stuff like, come on, man, that's, you know, that's not constructive at all. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go look through it, you'll find it. And that's what we're trying to build. So hopefully we're going to have this website really soon where it'll be a place to where people can post their demo reels and you can find each other, you know, based on location, and you can put your short films for that community to then watch and critique constructively and for us to watch it.
That is really just pretty
build
awesome.
Up that community.
Yeah, there really isn't something out there to where you can find people to work on stuff together. I mean, if you live in LA, it's kind of easy, but you know, we're here, we're located here.
Walk down the street.
Yeah, you walk down the street. Who wants to work on something? Me.
Right. I will. Yeah. I mean, in Florida, it was the same. In Texas, it's the same. It's, you know, like you said, LA, it's all over the place, but in almost anywhere else other than, you know, maybe New York, it's really hard to find like-minded people that will do it for the passion of it. I mean, if you got a ton of money, sure, you can get people.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, none of us really do. And even when you do have money, you don't want to work with douchebags. You know, you want to work with people who are passionate, not just doing it for a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we could be that central hub for people to go to, just that outlet, that would be fantastic. That's the ultimate goal. And then, you know, hopefully if lightning strikes and Train turns into, you know, what we want it to be and we become the studio we want to be and we start hiring, we're going to be hiring from our community that we've built. And hopefully be bringing people in and mentoring them more and building them up to make their own films and then, you know, letting them go out and do their thing. That's the goal anyway.
So we actually live in Texas also.
Oh, nice. Where about?
Jeremy is in Keller.
Oh, okay.
And I'm in South Fort Worth. So
my parents are in Keller and my brother's in Fort Worth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So how you want to hire some people eventually? How do we get on the train for this? How do we get?
well, he never watches the show.
Okay,
that's a lie. I love you guys, man. I watch you guys during sex.
Yeah, you know, I feel like
it's how much I love your show.
I don't know whether to be honored or creeped out. well, eventually, like right now, we're not. But eventually, no, but I want to, what I, well, I mean, you know, it's nice to know that you guys are local, because when we do projects, we do need help of people who just want to come out for the passion of it and help. And that's like super close.
That would be so, us.
Yeah. So now I'll be like, hey guys.
Listen, he's got the mug. He's going to show you, he's going to walk in and be like, hey guys, he'll have his mug the entire time.
Hi.
You got that Bruno beard going too. We have a serious lack of Bruno happening.
That's what I was about to say before Jeremy cut me off a few minutes ago. I was like, you know, Bruno's gone. I think you need a new beard.
Look at that beauty. So. Again, for the people just listening to the audio, this has got to be so weird.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I have a very massive beard. I have not trimmed it in like 8 months.
It is lovely.
I can bring
it looks
to the...
like Peter, not to bring up Family Guy again, but it looks like Peter Griffin's beard when it has like the bird in it.
The bird's in it, yeah.
So now people have a visual aid.
Yeah.
But we want to ultimately get like even like a sort of submission form going eventually, which will hopefully be in the next 2 years, where people can like submit to work with us and stuff like that, because I just want to pull from, because there's just so many talented people in the Film Riot community. There's no real reason to go anywhere else but to just pull from there. And it's just another way to give back, because, I mean, I say it all the time, and we mean it wholeheartedly. The only reason we are where we are is because of the people who watch our show and support us. So, you know, anything that we could do to, you know, get their stuff seen or be involved with, you know, their career getting furthered in any way. I mean, I also selfishly, because it just, you know, makes you feel like $1 million when you help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's stuff that we definitely want to do.
Very cool. What brought you guys to Texas? Cause I mean, obviously maybe family did, but you said that your parents live in the area, but I know that you guys are from Florida and you moved over here. I'm sure you covered it on your show that I don't watch. But
that would require you to go back quite a ways.
Worst. You're the worst.
But what made you move to Texas, and kind of how's the transition been since you've been here for what, a year now?
Going on, this will be our third year coming up.
That's what I said.
Yeah. So we've been here for 2 years.
2 years.
And I really like it. We didn't follow family. Family followed us. We're a really tight-knit group of peoples. So, you know, I was like, guys, I'm going to Texas. I'm out. I hate Florida. I'm out. But, I mean, everybody was already wanting to move. Nobody really liked Florida. We all wanted to get out of Florida. So once one of us went, that was just the initiative for everybody else to be like, sweet, and then follow. But it was all just business decisions. You know, LA, New York is far too expensive for me to go and do what I want to do, because we are an independent company and I want to stay that way. I don't want anyone, you know, getting their hands in the pockets, because once that happens, they'd start dictating what you do, what you can and can't do, you know. And I have my whole set of own personal ethics that I don't want to go beyond, you know. Like, I never want to review a piece of gear and say it's good just because we have an affiliation with the company, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want a sponsor that I disagree with, you know, promoting this to my audience just because I have to, because this guy says I do, you know.
Have you ever had companies come up to you and say, hey, we are releasing this piece of gear, we'd like some positive reinforcement from you?
I've had
Kessler Crane.
I've had nudge, nudge, wink, wink. No, Kessler is Kessler is like the best out there for the thing. But also, he has a gun.
Whoa!
And he has
Eric. We're kidding.
I love you, Eric. No, I mean, the thing is, what I always tell people, it has happened with companies, and I just didn't review their product. I was like, thanks, but no thanks. Mm-hmm. No one has said it outright. They never would, and it's only happened like twice. But it's just like a hey, nudge, nudge, nudge. If I give you this, mm-hmm. will
I like
you?
How on your show you always are like, they did not ask us to do this. We are just using Andrew Kramer's stuff for free.
didn't
ask me to review this at all.
Uh-huh. We Every didn't time. Used to, but when we don't, there's a handful of people that have been like, oh my God, I can never trust you again. They clearly paid you for this review. And I'm like, you're right. I can't possibly like something and want to let you guys know about it. You're right. And if we are paid or affiliated, we tell you that. But, you know, we've said it on the show 1,000,000 times. and it's 1,000% true. I will never give something a good review. I mean, my word is all I have, you know. Mm-hmm. If I start spouting BS and tell people to go get gear that's no good, that's going to get around quick. I mean, the internet is a very small place now. And if, you know, Ryan's bot, then the show's freaking going to fall to crap. That's not good, you know, for us. So I don't back anything unless I believe in it. You know, I went and I did a project with Rode, and I put on a Rode shirt and did, you know, a project for them. I would never do that unless I agreed in the believed in the product and the company. Not just the product, but the product and the company. Like, you know, Kessler, I rep Kessler like crazy, even did a show with him, just like with Rode, because not only do I love the product, but the people behind the product are fantastic people. Adobe, same thing. Which that one just came about because we just loved on them so much for 5 years that they were finally like, okay, we should talk. Because, I mean, from day one of Film Riot, we were all over After Effects, just slobbering all over it. And then once the latest Final Cut came out, we were like, peace. And then I went over to Adobe, which Adobe was the first editing software I ever had. That's the one my dad bought me. So it was a matter of going back to it. I mean, that's what when I ran the video studio for Dell's gaming division, Alienware, that's what I used for work, because that's all PC-based. So it was really just going back to the software. So it was, and it friggin' A, like before I wouldn't have, but once it hit CS6, awesome. Just awesome.
Yeah. That's what I'm running, and then Doug is running After Effects on CS6 as well.
Yeah, the reason I'm behind them so much and I rep them so much, and I've been just trying to get them, every project I do, I'm like, hey, you guys want to be involved? It's just because they care and they're listening, and I mean, they're responding to people on social networking, and you're like, hey, this is an issue, and they fix it. And I love CC because if there's an issue, they don't have to wait for the next version. They're just like, oh, let's create an update, and boom, there you go. You know, that's about to happen with another update that's coming out, which I'm really excited about. You know, that's awesome. And again, Rode, Kessler, and Adobe are all, which not to like advertise them, but specifically talking about, you know, when you work with companies, I work with companies. I'm going to stop saying names of companies so it sounds like I'm, so it doesn't sound like I'm promoting them. I'm just going to say companies now.
Yeah, every time.
I'm just going to say companies now. So when you work with companies,
like Pepsi,
I rep heavily. They're the ones that when I go to for a project, I always pitch it the same way. Hey, this is the gear I use. Your gear is what I use. So this is what's going to be in the BTS. This is what I'm going to do in the BTS. But if you jump on board, we can make the project even better. Either way, you're getting the advertisement. So they're not really paying for the advertisement. It's happening either way, because we use what we use because we love it, not because we're getting paid to use it. They come in because now they're excited and they want to try to make it the best that it can be too. So it's more of a collaborative thing. It becomes less of a business arrangement and more just creative passion. And it's just better for the show.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. You mentioned earlier that you're coming out with advanced kind of shows. Is that, do you ever worried about running out of content for week by week, or is that a move that you're like, well,
God, no. Yeah, it's endless, man. I mean, you know, I mean, I could cover cameras this week, wait 2 months and cover it again, you know? it's just, and it would be all brand new. You know, you got the GH4 4K coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just the 4K workflow is a totally different workflow. What you need for that is a totally different workflow, methodology changes. And even just shifting ideas of, you know, we could do a lighting episode once a month and it would be different every time, because I would just do, like, we have one coming out where it's not, here's exactly how you light and here's a key light, and here's a backlight. It's, hey, here's an idea of a lighting scenario. Mm-hmm. And you could do that freaking 500 times, you know, it's really, really endless. Same thing with VFX. You could do a cloning effect 20 different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's less about doing a cloning effect in After Effects, and it's a lot more about, here's the idea behind the thing that we did, here's the thought process we had, here's the creativity behind what made this work. So we'll use a certain software, but my idea with Film Riot has always been what Movie Magic was for me. Movie Magic was something that showed how, you know, a freaking $80 million movie was made and how professionals did it. Obviously, I couldn't do a single thing that they did, but I was able to watch the idea behind what they did, the thought process, behind how they did it and, you know, methodology behind certain things, take that and then, you know, wield it to what I could do at that time. And that's kind of the idea behind Film Riot. And that's why I think there's just, there's going to be no shortage of it. And once we shift into the advance, now that's an entirely new world of things, you know? And even like DIY, we made DIY stuff back in the day, like a DIY dolly that just doesn't cut it nowadays. Mm-hmm. So we could do another DIY build and the DIY dolly would be 10,000 times better than that old DIY dolly. Where at the time, that was a really good DIY dolly. Now it sucks. You know, now we would do something totally different. So it's never ending. And the other thing is, you know, bringing in fresh blood, you know, as I'm transitioning to higher end projects and Film Riot breaks off into doing the advance, I want to start bringing in, you know, new film, the filmmaker I was 5 years ago, you know, to start co-hosting and doing stuff on Film Riot as well, to get somebody who's intensely creative and talented, but still in that super DIY world, to start showing new ideas and new methods of approaching something, because there's not one right way to do a thing. Mm-hmm. It was always about just looking at, hey, here's how I solved a problem, not, hey, here's how you solve the problem. It was, here's how
I
solved
it's my way problem. No, it's my way.
Right. My way or the highway, period. But that's why I think it's just, yeah, I don't think we'll ever run out of stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. So you guys do a lot of like music and stuff on your shows, like jingles.
Right.
Who's behind that? Because I love them.
They're so good.
He doesn't know. He doesn't watch the show, but I told him that they're really good.
They are good. I've listened to them.
I showed them one or two of them.
Yeah, I've seen a couple. I love Mailbag.
I do all of those. Some of the music, I would say like 60% of the music is like stock music. It's not ours. Which is why people are like, hey, can you offer that as a download or can you sell those? And it's like, nope, because they're licensed songs. That's all we can do with them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, we could make the music ourselves. It's just that's added time that we don't have. But right. It's usually I'll just find like stock backbed of music and then just make something ridiculous out of it. And usually it's just I make it up on the spot, like it's ad lib music. So it's like the I'm a Robot song. It was just hit record and then just make it up. and a lot of them have been that way. I think one of the only ones that wasn't that way was the Santa rap song. Like usually if there's rap, it's not ad lib.
Yeah,
that's the only way I do rap.
Is usually ad lib. Just freestyle,
I'll just freestyle it. All day.
Except for like, there's one like forever ago that will stick in my mind for some reason. It was like tripping them circuits, tripping them breakers. And it's so stupid. But that one was ad lib too. And Josh just comes out and he's like, oh, it's my jam.
What about the Ford Fiesta, the pimp, straight pimpin' song?
That was ad lib.
Yeah. So good.
That was all ad lib. I knew I had basically I just put bullet points of what I had to hit on there. 7 airbags. I don't remember what the other crap was. And then I just ad-libbed it all.
You're so sexy.
You're so sexy. But I mean, that's why I think it comes out funnier that way. I'm not that funny. So I can't, I can't write that funny. So
yeah, you mentioned that. I remember watching in one of your episodes that you mentioned that you don't really do scripts that often.
Well, I finally figured out over the first 2 years, it was really difficult.
See, I do watch it.
aha!
I'm a closet Film Riot fan.
And now you've been outed. Congratulations. We're all very proud of you.
We're here to support you, Jeremy.
We're here to support you.
Fuck!
Through this transition. yeah, no, the first 2 years was a little difficult to write the count, because I'm really used to ad-lib. You know, I did all those improv things when I was younger, so I was used to that. So it took a long time for me to kind of harness this, which I've talked about before. Ad-lib writing is what I like to call it, which sounds ridiculous, but it's just a vomit pass without thinking. So I'll write dialogue straight through super fast and then never change it, basically. Mm. And it's just like I'll get into the two characters and then I'll just switch between the two characters super fast, ad-libbing for both of them. And that's how I finally figured out how I can actually write a comedic script and actually shoot that thing without changing it entirely. Because a lot of the times before, I would write the structure of what would happen in the scene and what would need to be said, essentially. And then I would do what I did when I was a kid. Now you say this. Now you say this. Mm. Now you say this. Now you say this. Or call out little ad-libs from behind the camera as we were going. But over time, I figured out how to write comedically to some extent. But songs are just like an entirely different thing. It's so hard to write funny songs. So it's just screw it. I'll just ad-lib it. And whatever comes out, comes out.
And it works. I mean, you guys are pretty hilarious.
Thanks, man.
Not just pretty hilarious.
Okay, you guys are hilarious. Obviously, because, I mean, the internet can be a beast. And so if you guys weren't hitting something, you know, people would probably tear you apart. This show sucks, kind of like they do with us.
Well, they used to. It's just we've got a kind audience over time. You know, and people suck with us as we were like, we're still learning. There's still so many kinks to iron out. But, I mean, man, if you go back and watch some of the older episodes, oof, there were some jokes that fell so flat. It's just like, oh, what was that? Mm. Especially if you go, you should do it. Go back and watch, like, the first couple of episodes of Film Riot. I was the worst host to ever host a thing ever.
It makes you so want to take them down, doesn't it? It's like, because we've been doing this for, we've been doing this now over a year. And we finally, after a year, we're like, okay, we'll hone our skills for a year. And then after that, we'll start to branch out and be like, okay, well, let's see if we can get some interviews and, like, get people on and interact with them. And then we started I went back and I was just like, oh, God, why is this still available on the internet?
Yeah, I mean, terrible. I don't – at times I kind of do, but I don't mind it because I like that people can go and look at how horrible I was.
And the progression.
And then, and watch the progression and be like, you know what, look how much he sucked. If he can do it, I can. You know? And I love that because that happened for me with a director. A director released, like, one of his short films, and it was terrible. But he's one of my favorite directors. I wish I could remember what it was so I could reference it. But it was just – horrible, and I'm like, well, frick, that's encouraging. You know, because you just feel like, God, I suck and I'll never be good, and everybody sucks at one point. I still suck. I'm still trying to be good, and the more you do, the better you get. Yeah,
it's that old 10,000
to that.
It's that old 10,000 hour
mine's an eternity of hours. It never ends.
Doug trying to be better. As soon as Doug turned on the microphone, he was the greatest ever. He doesn't even need hours.
What can I say? I was just born with a good voice.
That's why
when it comes to hosting, it's like you have to do it to get better because you have to be able to hear yourself and see what you're doing wrong and then try again and then hear that and then try again and hear that. That's why one of our new shows, Variant, Aris, I knew he was going to be a solid host, and he had such a passion for the content that he was the only one that could do it right, because, you know, the authenticity is everything with this stuff. And, you know, we were far enough along with Film State and Film Riot that I didn't want to put something up under the Train banner that wasn't far enough along to be acceptable. So up front, he was the host that I was when I started Film Riot, which was fine because it was like, who are these guys? But so we did like a bunch of mock episodes. I think he did like 12 episodes that never saw the light of day before he did his first episode that we finally put online. We were developing that show for like a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it was just coming up with the idea and then him just making episodes over time, learning what he was doing wrong, make another episode, learning, make another episode.
Yeah, that's what we should have done.
Well, no, we did. We did. We did two episodes before we came out. It still sucked, but I mean, but the thing that we have going for us is kind of like how we talked about before. People are just like, they started and now they can't quit. And they're like, this show just reeks of just suck. But we can't give up on it. We love it so much.
We're invested.
Yeah, we're
it's
invested.
Too late now, man.
So that's our fan base. They're like, we hate you, but we can't quit.
You're the worst. Yeah. Why did I jump on this train?
It's because we give away a lot of games on Steam.
Yeah,
that's
we give
really
away movies and games.
To.
They're like, we'll stay for that. So much stuff. We'll stay for that.
Like, oh, I've listened to this whole show to win a game.
I will begrudgingly listen.
Okay. Well, I guess I want that free game that cost $4.
I love that joke about apps, like where you buy, I think it was a Vine. He's like, he bought $100 shoes, but he's like, hey, check out this app. It's a dollar. He's like, what?
Yeah, I saw that. Freaks out.
That's part of my problem with Steam, though, is that like there's games on there that are great games that are like $15. You know, $15, that if it was an Xbox game, I'd buy it immediately. Right. But it's on Steam, I'm like, nope.
It'll go on sale someday.
What is Steam? Nope.
Get out of here.
Steam... Yeah, leave.
I'm going to go. Thanks for having me on. I apologize.
You've offended us both, sir.
I will Steam. Now go ask someone to smack me across the mouth.
Yeah.
Steam is the equivalent to like Xbox Live. It has for the PC. So if, it's for the PC gamer. It has more install base than anybody. So, but
that's why I don't know. I don't game much, and I don't PC game at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll steer clear of that one. So tell us about Film State. Why'd you quit that?
I'm the worst person.
We'll let it slide.
Yeah, this Thank time.
I'm this friends time. With people who game.
Does
that work? Does that help?
I just figured, you know, you in your episodes occasionally during some of your sketches, you'll have like a controller. But, you know, it's Josh or Aris that are normally playing.
Yeah,
right?
Josh Yeah, Josh is a big gamer, and I have an Xbox, but I just play casually. Yeah. Like I said, the only games I really play is, like, I'll allow myself, like, 1-2 games a year, and that's it.
And you know what? I think the ones that you've shown this past year were both Arkham Origins and Call of Duty Ghosts. I think those are the two that have been in...
Arkham is so good. It's so good.
I remember watching an episode and seeing, like, I think Josh was playing it, and I was like, hey, I know that game. I'm playing
that right now,
too.
Was, the Halloween episode, I think.
Good times.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Proximity, because you guys just recently released that. Can you tell us a little bit, for anybody who hasn't seen it? There's been over 200,000 views now on YouTube of the film, the short film, and I really enjoyed it. I liked it. The music was just incredible. Like, if I had to pick out a favorite part of what I liked about the film, was definitely the music. It grabbed me and didn't let me go. And
I would agree with that. That's the thing that I thought stood out the most as well. Daniel James is unbelievable.
He's
so freaking talented.
It really kept me engaged. It was really great. So
yeah, and I'm really, like I said before, I'm like massive on the music. So that was something I was really, really picky about. Daniel was making the joke, he was calling me 8 Frames Conley, because I would get really picky about the music and where things would hit. So it was like, could you pull that sting back, like, just like 8 frames. So by the end, he was just calling me 8 frames Conley.
That was really good. I mean, especially since there's very little dialogue really in the movie. I mean, it's like the one interaction between Todd Bruno and Josh, right? That's pretty much the only time anyone really talks.
Yeah,
right?
Which is funny, because that's the other thing people make fun of me about. They say I make silent films. if you think of Tell, there's just hardly any dialogue in that at all. And then Losses was kind of like an overblown Film Riot sketch. I don't really consider that one a short film, but again, like, zero dialogue. And then it comes to Proximity, and there's like no dialogue in the whole thing. Yeah. And that one piece, that one area of dialogue, was entirely Seth. He wrote that whole piece. That was not me. So it's like the only dialogue that was in it, didn't write it.
Yeah. But it also speaks volumes for the music, though, is that helped carry the movie through without, I mean...
Yeah.
To be able to express what's, you know, happening without using words. It was really good. It was really awesome and really well done. Where did you guys shoot that? I mean, I don't need exact coordinates, but...
I want the exact coordinates.
Well, 2563.
Thank you.
Okay. Hold on, I'm writing it down. Hold on.
It's like 30 minutes northeast of Dallas, I think. Mm. And just like this 300... acre plot of land that this Film Riot viewer emailed me and was like, hey, if you ever need something. And I'm like, oh yeah, sure, I'll keep it in mind. And then Outsiders fell through, and I was like, well, that guy said we could use his land, and these guys are here, we could do that. So that's pretty much how that happened.
We were gonna ask about that, because if you could see behind Doug, he has a poster of something that he was really pissed off that it never came out, because he bought the poster and he goes, wait till I get this motherfucker on this show. I'm going to rip him.
More importantly, I have the exact same lamp and bookcase.
See, we're just separated at birth. This is what it comes down to.
We're like totes BFFs.
Oh, right? My gosh. This is the best news ever.
How I deflected this and distracted you?
Dang it!
Not me, though.
I'm so excited about being best friends. I'm like, finally, my dreams have come true. Yeah! Me and Ryan are friends.
He's a liar. I've been watching House of Cards too much. That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And making a sarcastic facial expression towards a non-existent camera does not work in real life. I found that out the hard way. We're actually about to do an announcement about Outsiders pretty soon here. But yeah, it's delayed further. And, you know, I mean, we want to try to do it. But we're going to talk about it in that update. But it's just like, you know.
But we do have info coming. You're saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's not completely dead.
Well, info's coming.
Oh, don't let it be that.
I have to leave it at that. Oh,
no. So it's not completely dead, is what you're saying.
I love the script. I think the script is probably the best one that.
There's dialogue.
There's a fair amount of time. I actually wrote dialogue. Like, characters interact verbally.
He's like, I got 10 lines.
Who am I? Because what I loved about the Outsider script was that, and I think I've said this before on the show, it really isn't about the zombies. The zombies are just this driving force to everything that, because the whole thing takes place inside of a house that they go and they find. And what happens inside the house is really what it's about, and it's about human interaction. So, you know, similar to what the show is, you know, it's about these zombies that are this extraneous circumstance that pulls out whatever's inside each of these characters and then the interaction that, you know, results from those conflicts. And I really loved that about it. And I really loved exploring that because I'm fascinated by that with people. Like, you never really know someone. I mean, you could be married to someone for years and then they turn into something you never expected. I mean, you see those freaking shows where it's like, I married a serial killer. I had no idea, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's true of anything. You know, you're in a relationship, you get cheated on, you never thought in a million years that this person would do this thing to you. So just that idea of, you know, we're all capable of monstrous things, you know? I love exploring that sort of thing. And this did that in a very, very big way. So I adored it. So I don't want to let it go. But we'll see what happens. I don't know. I mean, I think it has even the possibility to be stretched to be even something longer. I don't know yet.
Maybe a series.
Maybe a feature. I don't know. And the cool thing about it, what I love about it, is it doesn't even have to be zombies. Like, we could swap that thing out for anything. It could be like for other creature. It could be aliens. It could be whatever.
Zombies are hot right now.
Well, they have been for a couple of years.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, which means that bubble is gonna pop soon. That's the worry.
When you're writing this, did you ever think like, oh man, I gotta be careful that I don't get too close to The Walking Dead, like, because it's
because
you want to focus on characters.
I started writing it because we were gonna do a Walking Dead sketch, like a Walking Dead film sketch.
Oh yeah.
I got on an airplane with that intention. Got off an airplane with a 22-page draft.
There you go.
And I was like, well, that went awry.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't know. I came up with these characters, and then one thing led to another, and it was just like blah, and I was like, crap, well, that was overzealous. It was much more about characters, and then, you know, I was in love with the Walking Dead series at the time, so I was like, man, I would do anything to you know, make an episode. So it was like, it kind of was led a little bit off that, but it's definitely its own thing with its own style. It's not like an episode of Walking Dead. But it has a little fan service to it here and there, but that could easily be taken out or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, when it first fell through, that was like such a kick to the nuts. It was just like, oh, this is terrible, because we hate saying something and not going through with that thing. Mm-hmm. That's why we're always very cautious about what we say publicly, because, you know, you say something and don't do it, say something and don't do it. So many times people just start being like, yeah, sure, you know?
Yeah.
So when it fell through because of some financing issues that fell through last minute, it was devastating until I talked to, you know, a couple friends in the industry, because, you know, we're at the point now where we're lucky enough to have a decent network, and all of them who, you know, are doing major films, like one's doing a $100 million film, another is doing a $50 million film, they're all like, dude, that happens all the freaking time, even over here, and especially to indie films. And all the actors were like, oh, not even, yeah, it's not surprising. This happens constantly. So that made me feel a little bit better, but it didn't quite heal the wound, you know? But it's like, you know, it's basically like this. Like, you build this foundation, and the foundation is built mostly out of the finances behind the thing. And then on top of that, you build, like, this Lego set of things, which is your cast and your crew and your locations and your gear rentals and all this stuff. And when you're doing something like we were doing, there was a lot of favors involved, because although we had a pretty decent sized budget, it was really ambitious. Like, we had, I think, 6 to 100 person zombie extra day at one point, and the idea was just to shoot for the moon and show it on Film Riot to make this like a freaking crash course film school for everyone, you know. And we were there, we had everything in line, but just last minute that financing fell through, so that piece of the structure crumbled. And once that crumbled, freaking everything fell apart, because now we have to reschedule things, which means every bit of cast and crew are off to other projects, and we have to try to get them back. And we were working with some pretty impressive people that are usually doing major films, so it's really hard to get something like that back together. Which was a great learning experience, and it was something that we were able to show on Film Riot, because we always try to keep an intense amount of clarity and just be really honest, open, and crystal clear with our audience of what's going down and where we screwed up and what we could have done better, just so people, because that's the whole point of Film Riot, is to learn from our mistakes. So, you know, in the end, I wasn't mad that it happened. I was kind of happy that it happened, because there was way more to learn from it than as if it were just to go through. Because eventually we're going to, you know, do that stuff. You know, we're definitely doing a project this year, but you know, if it just would have went off without a hitch, we would have just learned that stuff that we're going to learn anyway. Since it failed, there was a lot of other things that were learned along the way, which was great. Plus, proximity came out of it, which was a great sort of, our audience encouraged us so much with when it first fell through, you know, just getting behind us and, you know, having our backs, making us feel better, and then just re-energizing us that we're like, freaking F it, let's do something anyway, we got the stuff, let's go. Yeah. Let's, you know, practice what we preach. And I think in the end it also became a great example of, you know, when something falls apart, don't, you know, curl up in a corner and cry about it, just freaking get out there and do it anyway.
Can you tell me with proximity what happens after he shoots his own guy? Can you tell me what happens next? Because
just ruin the movie.
Okay, listen, spoiler alert. Yeah. At the end, cover your ears if you haven't seen it. You know, at first I was like, this is how it's gonna end. I was like, this is really how we're gonna do this. And then he turns and shoots. But I'd like to know more, please.
I love ambiguity, maybe to a fault, but I love leaving, tell is the same. I love leaving something up to interpretation.
Who's behind it? Who's behind it? How big is the corporation? What's going on here?
Is this the Hunger Games? What's happening?
See, exactly. So with proximity, because we wanted to make something that was like an experience, not necessarily like something that was going to dig deep into a story and really, you know, pull that story out. It was something that we wanted to put you on a roller coaster ride and let you have fun for 9 minutes. Plus, we didn't really have time to, you know, you try to write an intricate story in a couple of days, that thing's going to have so many freaking holes, it's not even funny. So we had to make a lot of very smart decisions on, you know, how to make this thing. So when you do that, it's great to be able to pull, without being a ripoff, but pull from other films to where you can watch this and immediately be like, oh, I get what's going on, without saying a friggin' word, because we're standing on the shoulders of things that have come before it. So that was definitely a conscious thing. One worry was staying away from being too Hunger Games-y. which, you know, we got a few of those. We're like, oh, Hunger Games. I'm like, But I wanted to put enough in it to where in the end you would have a billion questions, but kind of get what just happened too. And I loved seeing in the comments, there's like these big threads of people debating what just happened, why it happened, why these people were this color, why these people were that, why did this happen with the shackle? And for me, like that's a part of the film experience. Like, that's the kind of experience I like to create, to where it ends and it's not, oh, okay, that was good, back to what I was doing. You keep thinking about it, and you're like, what the? And then you're discussing it, and you're like, no, I thought it was this. No, I thought it was that. But you hopefully end, and you're satisfied by the experience you just had. But, you know, there's still more to talk about. You might want to rewatch it to kind of catch things that you may have or haven't. But it's also a universe that I wouldn't mind expanding on. So,
and that's I mean, when I watched it, I couldn't help but think like, wow, this could definitely be like a feature film. Cause I was just like, I just wanted more after I got done watching it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to tell you my version of the ending.
Do it. And I'm not going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
Okay. Okay. So
either way, even if it's not mine,
I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm just going to throw it out there based on what we've talked about here today. Okay. The larger gentleman who woke up, had his mask removed. They were looking at each other, right? And I'm going to throw it out there. It's going to be crazy, but both of them were robots. And when they saw each other,
oh, I see where the sequel goes.
They fell in love.
Uh-huh. Continue.
And so he goes, "Fuck this." And he shoots the other guy. And obviously, we have two robots in love on the run now. Because when he got stabbed, I didn't see any blood. So obviously, that led me to believe that he was obviously a robot.
Clearly
a robot.
And he punched that dude in the throat.
Yeah. So there you have it.
I'm not going to say you're right. And I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm just going to say that's an interesting interpretation.
Proximity to Electric Boogaloo. Coming soon. Listen, even if it doesn't actually like really happen, you have the perfect robot to star in it.
Yeah, there we go.
I think this just needs to happen as a sketch.
He's totally gonna steal the idea and be like, "Here's the new sketch."
And then it's
Todd's a robot. Oh my god.
Hey, fuck. This is what the robot says. He just says fuck a lot. That's all I got. That's my impression.
That's the only word he's got programmed into him. That's the way, I mean, he can convey a lot of things. He looks at his partner and goes, fuck. Or he's angry, fuck.
It's like Groot.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Wait, are you mad or do you want to make love?
That was the tree. It was Groot.
It's so unclear. Pretty misconstrued.
Yeah. Maybe it's a little bit of both. It's
is he going to shoot me or is he going to shoot me?
Oh.
Oh.
Right.
Ew.
Okay. So, speaking of the robot, I'm assuming that's played by your sister, right? Is that
Emily? No.
Yes. No.
No.
Really? That was my.
No, that's like our personal joy is that people don't know who's in the robot suit and drives them nuts. People are always like, "Oh, it's Emily, duh," and I'm like, "Nope." And they're like, "Well, yeah, because it's your wife, duh." I'm like, "Nope."
See, because I was watching the last one, you know, wait until after the credits, and there's that like Ryan, like starts walking towards the camera. I was like, "Oh, okay, that's who's in it. It's obviously Emily. Like that's who."
No, Emily just would have tore the thing off of her and chucked it at me.
Okay, well, this still leads to my next question. You have a bunch of your family like involved with Film Riot. Like how many are actually like employed by you now or employed? I mean, I don't know if you pay them. I don't know what you do.
Peanuts. They paid with peanuts.
Yeah. I think there's 3 are employed by me now.
That's got to be a great feeling. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's great. And I mean, up until this point, they're the only reason I've been able to do what I could do because they just helped me for free for years until, you know, Film Riot could sustain itself or Triune Films, rather, could sustain itself. And, you know, I started bringing them on because they all became assets. Because before it was just, you know, I just needed help. And then after a while, they just became so great at what they were, you know, helping me with just by, you know, trial and error. That I was just like, well, frick, you want to come do this full time? And, you know, it's great, too, because I have a very tight-knit family, and we're all like, you know, my family or my friends. I lucked out that way. So it's great. It's just I work with a bunch of people that I want to be around, too, which is my no douchebag rule applies for forever. I will never hire a douchebag, no matter how talented. Mm-hmm. I'd rather take someone who's, like, raw talent that needs a lot of work but is an amazing person who's passionate than take someone who's unbelievable and a douche. Like, that's just, it's counterproductive, you know?
Sorry, Doug, it's not going to happen then.
Sorry, man.
We'll see.
But that's also got to keep you level-headed, you know? Like, I mean, your family is going to be the most honest to you.
Oh, and yeah.
Without you, you know, people just bullshitting you the entire time and be like, you are amazing, you are amazing. Well, now I've got a big head. Fuck everybody.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely not yes men. I mean, they're quicker to be like, you suck, shut up. Mm-hmm. Than anything else. And, you know, it was great. Like, early on, I mean, we're not that big, but, you know, if we go to something, there's a grouping of people who know who we are, and that can get a little overwhelming. And, you know, even when you're nobody from nowhere, but, you know, 100 people care and you meet those 100 people at the exact same time, it's pretty easy to start thinking you're something special, which I never, ever, ever, ever want to do. And up front, you know, that stuff just being thrown on you immediately when Film Riot first started, it's easy to fall into that trap. But it was always great to, at the end of it, come back and just be told how much of a loser I am, you know, in my normal world, and just and be like, oh, yeah, right, I'm nobody. I probably almost forgot. But yeah, that's a great thing about being outside of that, you know, everybody loving you thing, you know, just being in a place that's just normal. It just keeps it. So, you know, if we're lucky enough for this to keep growing and, you know, one day, you know, we actually are popular or whatever, or more so than we are to where, you know, it's much bigger. You know, it'll be pretty easy to stay grounded, keep our feet on the ground, because, you know, we're all in it together, reminding each other how pathetic we are.
Well, beginning to wrap this thing up so that way we can get you back to your normal day. I just I kind of wanted to
of Wikipedia.
Yeah, we know how busy you are. But you know, one final thing to ask here is, when do you feel like you're going to be ready to make your kind of feature film? And kind of to tie in with your short film that of Outsiders that didn't quite make it. Have you thought about doing kind of a crowdsourcing for your budget? You know, I mean, it's a very popular Kickstarter. We just recently finished up a Kickstarter that got funded for a little series we're going to put on to YouTube. That we're going to do on YouTube. But kind of that thing of like, okay, well, I want to do a feature, but the idea that I have isn't really going to get pushed out there. You know, have you thought about the crowdsourcing?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I wouldn't close off any avenue. Right now, I don't want to do that. There's just a lot of things that come along with crowdsourcing that doesn't work for the model that we're creating right now. I would rather, you know, go to companies that I'm using their stuff anyway, like I said, and see if I can get them on board and take their money, you know, instead of taking the audience's money. I mean, in the end, if that was the way to do it, then yeah, I'd absolutely do it. I have nothing against crowdfunding stuff. I think it's awesome. It's a great way for people to, you know, get their stuff done. Freddie Wong just wrapped his up. He almost cracked a million. That's freaking unbelievable.
It's crazy.
So it's a very viable way to do it. It's not really what we're doing currently. You know, that's our store is a big, like, crowdsource version for us. Like, us making products, us making things that are valuable for people to actually be able to buy, like, you know, the assets and things like that, that they can take and use, like these sound effects packs, some delicious mugs to sip some yummy
coffee. I knew it was coming.
I just see it rising up in the frame.
All slowly.
Just...
I wish we were live.
Yeah, I wish people could see what's happening. It's just now it's just a mug in my screen. That's it. But like, you know, stuff like filmmaker gear, like shirts that you would want to wear that I want to wear as a filmmaker, and those assets, like those sound effects packs that we're trying to keep as cheap as possible, which are cheaper than you're going to get any other pack even close to that quality. Mm-hmm. And the next one that we're coming out with, we're going to try to even make like 10 times cheaper than the gun pack. The gun pack was just insane expensive to do. That was like our first, like, oh my God, I hope people like this, because we just spent so much money on getting that done. 50 cal shells, not cheap, just so you know. Not cheap. You know, doing stuff like that, like making these assets that are actually, you know, helpful to people, and they go and they buy that, and then we're just taking all that money and putting it into a project fund to, you know, build up, you know, funds for us to do our own thing. That's the main, you know, approach that we're taking right now. And then people are always like, hey, can I donate money to you? And I'm like, no, we don't really have that, but you can go to our store and buy something. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we put up the Proximity Digital Downloads, got some special features on it, which are cool, but mostly people just want to support.
Over an hour of special features.
Over an hour, yeah. And I was pretty stoked about this, but they came out pretty good for how last minute they were. But eventually, yep. Like, our BTS is going to be – my goal is to just to be the BTS behind – best BTS behind a project anyone's ever seen. Like, most comprehensive, freaking you were there. Like, the onset experience idea that we've done twice now has not hit what I want it to be. Like, I want you to freaking feel like you're sitting right next to me making a movie. Because mm-hmm. I have no problem putting all my dirty laundry out there and people watching me sweat bullets and not feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, because I just feel like that stuff's helpful. Because now that I'm getting into these – somewhat sort of slowly but surely inner circles of some pretty talented people, you hear them say that man, I just feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, motherfucker, say that publicly so other people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you get these amazingly talented people who are stressed out of their minds too, and they feel like they're not equipped to do the thing. And I'm like, well, I feel like I'm the only one who feels that way. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would love to be able to, you know, if we're doing good stuff, to be able to put out there that every project I just feel like the worst and I'm going to fail miserably, you know, you know? So just that stuff is how I would love to fund our stuff. It's just like, you're helping us fund the movie by buying stuff that you actually want, mm-hmm. you know? So it's a win-win scenario. but again, I don't rule out crowdfunding. It could, you know, a year from now I could be like, you know what, this is the way to do it. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. So feature film.
Feature film. That's a tough one to answer. It, just like with everything that I've done, I try never to bite off more than I could chew. And Outsiders wasn't us biting off more than we could chew. We had that locked down. We were ready to go. We were ready to shoot in 4 days. You mm-hmm. know, actors were about to get on airplanes. That was just something that was out of our control. But we only pushed forward with that Outsiders because I knew we were ready to try to tackle it. It was going to be hard and it was going to be overwhelming, and it was definitely us, you know, pushing harder than we've ever pushed before, but it was something that we could accomplish. And a feature, I mean, you know, I'm confident enough to where I, you know, I'm pretty sure I could direct a feature right now and, you know, pull off something probably pretty good. If, you know, if Hollywood came a call in and hired me to direct something, yeah, I could definitely do that because you're working with a team of people that are guiding you. Mm-hmm. But the way that we want to do things is I just make it on my own. And, you know, that's not something I'm willing to just jump into quickly. And again, it goes back to just the being objective. And a lot of people have posted online being like, if you wait for the perfect moment, you're just never going to do it. And it's not about waiting for the perfect moment, because there's no such thing. There's no perfect time to get married. There's no perfect time to have kids. Any of these big life moments, you just got to at some point be like, I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be. Let's do this thing. Mm-hmm. But as of this very moment, I'm not ready to do a feature on my own. If it was a team of people with, you know, a production company behind me, absolutely. But with the way in which we're doing things, we're not there just yet. But there's a plan in place to get us there. And I think within the next 2 years, we'll be plotting our first feature. And I would love nothing more than for it to be completely independent, completely how we do things now. That way we call all the shots. We decide what we disclose to, you know, the audience and don't. You know, there's no BS behind it, and the film is made purely from just the love of it than anything else. I would love to do it that way. But again, obviously, if Hollywood came a call and if I was that friggin' lucky, no way I'm turning that down, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would just, again, see that as a stepping stone to get back to ultimately what I want to do. But yeah, the features come, and I got a bunch of feature ideas. My problem is my eyes are bigger than my wallet, so a lot of my ideas are just way beyond the scope of anything we could afford. Mm-hmm. So you know, it'll be a matter of coming up with something that we could do, you know, on a budget. But you know, it's definitely coming, but awesome. It will come when, you know, we're ready to put out something that people will dig and not something that people will be massively disappointed in.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Good to know. So look out in 2 years.
Or keep else. An eye that, out. Wait, were you threatening me or telling people to watch out for the film?
Both.
Oh, God.
Look out.
Doug, do you have anything else for Mr. Ryan?
No.
No, I love yous. No, no, don't get weird.
I'm scrolling through all our notes and stuff, just looking to see if there was anything that we missed or I wanted to go over. But I think that we.
Well, Ryan, if there's anybody here that's part of our audience that has never, ever, ever heard of you or Film Riot, how can people follow you? Where can they go to see Proximity? What can they do to get on your train?
The best and easiest thing to do is just go to youtube.com/filmriot, and you can pretty much find everything through there. Proximity's on there. You could get to our Twitter and Facebook through there. So that's like the central hub of everything right now.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, getting to know you here in this interview, the integrity that you have for what you do is incredible. I have a very high level of respect for you and for what you stand for, and it's something that is diminishing in the industry, and it's nice to see somebody who has standards and won't break from those. So it's been awesome to hear from you. It's been an awesome interview. We thank you so much.
No, thank you. That's very kind.
So Doug, lead us out with something really creepy that will guarantee Ryan never to talk to us again.
Mom, no, it's just too much pressure.
Just ensure that I will talk to you again.
Yeah. Just show the mug. Just show the mug.
This guy's weird. Let's be friends.
His pants are off right now.
Yeah, I'm on.
I knew it.
Oh, I knew it.
The entire interview.
It's Sunday. Who wears pants on Sunday?
Yeah, come on.
Anyways, thank you so much, Ryan, for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it. So, all right, everybody. That was our interview with Ryan, and go check out his stuff. Thanks.